Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
I made a simple statement. If I have to choose between having my dog and you living here and taking my dog away, the choice isn't hard. You can leave and go home. And the fact of the matter is, the world went crazy. And what's fascinating is all the Democrats that have attacked me, not a single one has said you have the right to own a dog. They are all coming down on you can lead your dog to slaughter if that's what we have to do to make Muslim immigrants happy in the United States.
Now, I know we have not covered this, so you might be wondering, what in the world even, who is that? That's Randy Fine, former state representative in Florida. He is now the congressman in Florida. And the short version of the history here is that this woman, Nardine Kiswani, posted how dogs definitely have a place in society, just not as indoor pets. She is a Muslim. This is in New York. Like we've said all along, they are unclean. Various versions of this, even to the point of, you know, maybe we need to slaughter all the dogs. I don't think that she said that, but that's kind of how this has been interpreted, in order to make New York safe for the Muslims who it offends having dogs around. Dogs in Islam are not preferred. They're viewed as impure and dirty. You're not supposed to keep them in the house, but they are not haram. They are not forbidden. In any case, as a response to that, Randy Fine puts on X, well, if they force us to choose, the choice between dogs and Muslims is not a difficult one. And then Gavin Newsom, resign now, you racist slob, and others. Hakeem Jeffries, I believe, is actually calling for a censure against him. His response to Leader Jeffries was to picture him with a sombrero on. That's a callback to other things you would know only if you follow Twitter a lot. In any case, lots of people are upset about Randy Fine, and Randy Fine is basically saying, look, I'd rather we're able to keep dogs. We shouldn't be catering to Islamists by getting rid of them and so forth. All right, so all that's your backdrop. Happy Wednesday morning. Congressman Petronas, Jimmy Petronas, is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, Bruce. Hakeem Jeffries, his crew wants you out of the house.
Yeah. So apparently the Democrats want Randy Fine out. And you've had a conversation with him. Any insight, any perspective, any response?
No, he's actually, his phone's been blowing up over the last 24 hours over this unbelievable ridiculousness of where they have taken a position against dogs. I tell you, so I'm standing with Randy. I'm not going to vote to censure him. I think these guys are just being, you know, this is the type of ridiculousness that we have in Washington, D.C., and stunts like this will ultimately end up in an email fundraising post by Hakeem Jeffries and Gavin Newsom in order to try to raise money. That's the seriousness of these jacklegs in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I think Randy sometimes, the way he says things with some of the things he does, I do not agree with, and I wouldn't have said this myself, but also, is this the end of the world?
You might. I think you love dogs.
I did have to think to myself, if somebody said your dog or, and I'm like, I don't know. I'd kind of like to not have to make either choice. All right, let's move on to substantial things. I just knew that was, hot in D.C. right now, so I figured we'd bring it up.
Sure.
The DHS shutdown. First of all, I don't really understand why all the other entities have been brought into this. I totally understand why. I mean, I don't agree with, but I totally understand why the Democrats are upset about particularly CBP. But why not pass a bill that funds everything, Coast Guard, for goodness sakes, instead of just the CBP isolated as itself? Is that not even possible?
So right now, the House, we have done our job. We have passed a bill funding these agencies, okay? And ICE is already funded. It got funded through the one big bill. The one particular component of the entire argument that the Democrats are making is because of the rally cry of what their base wants to have disagreement with regarding ICE. And they want masks on law enforcement, and they ask masks removed off law enforcement, and they want the search warrant or the arresting warrant process changed. To me, I think definitely masks is a non-starter. The agitators that are out there, the ones that are causing, you know, pushback, they're all wearing masks. They're using things that we don't know that ultimately could end up harming our law enforcement, the doxing that's taking place, you know. But I think, you know, the president and Tom Homan, and I like to remind people, Andrew, this is the same Tom Homan that under the Obama administration got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, okay? So, I mean, so the president, as some folks may want to say, Tom Homan is polarizing. Tom Homan is just a public servant doing his job. I mean, and even the previous president of the United States recognizes that. So, anyway, frustrating of where they're just politicizing this. The president has totally, you know, de-escalated the situation, and now it just becomes a position of them wanting to try to raise money for the midterms.
Yeah, you know, yesterday I actually—
It has nothing to do about policy. Nothing. Nothing to do about policy.
You know, I listened to the entire congressional hearing from last week, or maybe it was a week before. I don't know. The one with all the heads of ICE and CBP. By the way, ICE instead of CBP. Thank you for clarifying. I said the wrong thing. And I learned a lot in that, particularly about Tom Homan and about how things have changed now that he's taken over. And so it is very, very interesting. The one thing that's come up about the masks that I thought was an interesting idea was, because I don't like the masks on law enforcement, but I understand the other side as well, the concern.
Sure.
Something like the HALO law that requires you to be 20 feet away or 25 feet away from a law enforcement involved in an act, you know, that's true in Florida. Why not make that a federal thing? That might also help. And I understand it's more complicated where the local law enforcement's not doing their job of helping, you know, keep the peace kind of thing. So more complicated
exactly.
than that.
Exactly.
Jimmy, hang on for just a second. I need to get a quick traffic break. We're talking to Jimmy Patronis. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Culver's. Lint is here. Enjoy shrimp or fish dinners or sandwiches. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway, Milton, and coming soon to Pine Forest. Culver's, welcome to Delicious. Still dealing with the accident that happened earlier on I-110. Still causing some I-110 northbound, still causing some delays right around the Cervani Street exit. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Patronis. You had a couple of visitors in the last week. One I know was Ryan Jenkins. He is regularly on our station, a good friend.
And
we love the work that he does and who he represents, trying to, you know, preserve farmland, do something to help the farmers. Man, the farmers have been getting killed by the tariffs and other things, but also just preserving farmland for the future. You're working on this, considering ideas. What are you going to do?
Yeah, so we had a great visit last week. He and some of the folks from Farm Bureau just trying to think outside of the box of some ways to make sure we keep the economy in Northwest Florida diversified, that there's a future for farming in Northwest Florida. I think we kind of came up with some back of the napkin type ideas. So y'all just sit tight. We've got some pretty cool things we're trying to work on. But just a delightful visit, and I can't stress enough to everybody that's listening. You know, if you have an opportunity with work or family or whatnot to come to DC, you need to let us know that you're coming up and let us show you, you know, what your city is all about. We're very proud of the work that we do, but more importantly, we are very incredibly honored to be able to represent y'all. And we'd love to, like I said, let you know that DC is a safe place to come and visit, and it's an amazing place to bring your family. So,
you know, on the issue of farmland protection, I actually think this is a very easy sell for the president if he doesn't already grasp it. He's a real estate guy. He gets the value of land. He would understand that, you know, it's more profitable to sell the land to be developed than it is to farm it. He would also understand the importance of supply chain and, you know, national defense, having a food source that we can count on in times of turmoil. So I would think that if you can find something that works, the president would be on board because it fits all the check boxes that he would normally care about. So, you know, I don't think you got to sell him much on it. Johnson Beach, we talked about this last week. Any progress on getting a daily rate there? Talk to the interior, anything?
So we started a dialogue again. What I was telling Commissioner Kohler, I was just, you know, again, a lot of this stuff, you don't, if I'm not a frequent user of Johnson Beach, you don't realize some of the things that are being challenged there or how the spike of traffic is. But I'm also a big believer, my God, if this is public land, why are we charging people? Why can't we make it easier? So, got my full sympathy of trying to work on a solution of where we're going to change the way business is being done. I know there's probably those out there that feel like, gosh, we got to slow down the traffic, so let's just charge a bigger weekly fee as a deterrence for extra foot traffic. And I'm sure they have historical numbers that reflect the importance of this. But you know what? At the end of the day, this isn't for one person to dictate yes or no. You're not going to be on, quote, my beach. This is the public's beach. So, stay tuned. We're going to continue to roll our sleeves up and try to help them out.
That's great. I love Fort Pickens. I love Johnson Beach, but we only ever go on the free days because it's so expensive to go for even a single, it's just not worth the money when you can go to elsewhere. You guys are also, I think, Colton Wright was there working with the Northwest Florida Defense Coalition, helping work on military stuff. It seemed like the Whiting, the NAS Whiting Field land deal for their one field next to the industrial complex, right, in exchange for entering into this agreement where they can provide services and not have to go through the Defense Department procurement. That seems like a sweet deal for everybody. Is that something you think can actually happen?
We've got to continue thinking outside of the box for all those overdue needed infrastructure issues on all these installations. I'm sorry, the Pentagon just does not move the way the private sector does or even local government does. So we've got to be leaning forward to try to be more innovative in order to get this infrastructure rebuilt, moved, flipped, you name it, where it makes sense. And I love the idea. Again, stay tuned as I just learned really about this opportunity and we're working on it.
Yeah, these intergovernmental services agreements, I just think they're a genius solution to the problem of you just can't turn the Pentagon anywhere near like you can turn the local government in terms of getting things done. And I love the idea. Any news on the possibility of the Coast Guard's training facility coming to NAS Pensacola? I assume that's still it's a Pentagon and, time is in years and not days, right?
Yeah, working on it, the challenge is can we compete with a timeline of where there is another competing destination campus that already has more infrastructure in the ground. So that's the biggest thing. A lot of times these opportunities are won and lost by who has more already built infrastructure and does not have to compete with starting with a clear site versus almost a fully purposed site that could be used also. So again, I don't know enough about the competition of what we're competing with, but we're definitely trying to wrap our arms around it because I think it's just amazing that we get this incredible piece of real estate right there on the bay that we could turn into a campus.
Yeah, and I think Colton mentioned
the other challenge is the campus the Coast Guard wants is they wanted a temporary campus. It's just for a few years in order to do the necessary changes, I guess, up in New Jersey. So I do feel like there's a business decision also at hand too. So.
Oh, okay. See, I did not realize it was only going to be a temporary thing, but that does change the nature of it. I just thought it was hilarious as Colton was telling me that there's a landlocked facility that's trying to get. I'm like, for the Coast Guard training? Okay. That's weird.
It's actually a beautiful campus. So, that's the challenge you've got. They already got classrooms, they got dorms, they got, meal halls, all that stuff already in place. And again, I don't know if they're actively or it's just been suggested as this could be a potential site because hell, this campus just closed in 2024.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like it's a dilapidated.
It's not dilapidated,
so.
Yeah. Okay.
It's interesting. You are so much more intriguing on a Wednesday versus a Monday. Evidently, you must have got some good sleep last night. Monday.
Actually, low sleep. I don't know. Like, I can't really explain it. That's funny.
I got to lead you along, it seems like today you're leading along. So whatever you do, I think you should keep it up.
Do more of it on a Monday. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1, running all around the district yesterday, being busy, which I appreciate that. Saw you on Channel 3 last night as well. Jimmy, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you guys. Have a great week.
All right.
Go get your ashes.
Yes, that's for sure. If you're Catholic or Methodist or Lutheran or Episcopalian, if you participate in that. 724 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, graveled roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
In an ever-changing world, it's important to know that God never changes. Governments change, interest rates change, the seasons change, relationships and even stoplights change. But the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says in the book of James that in God there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Malachi 3:6, God says, I am the Lord, I change not. The God that parted the Red Sea for Moses and the children of Israel to walk on dry land is the same God who can provide a way of escape from your trial. The God who dropped manna from heaven can provide heavenly nourishment for you today. In a world full of changes, rejoice in the fact that Jesus never changes.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
My name's Forrest Gump. People call me Forrest Gump.
XTC for you there, 726 News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. If you're on I-10 eastbound, right around the Pine Forest exit, expect about a 20-minute delay in that area through the construction zone, but also just a minor accident that's moved off to the side of the road, but still causing delays. Also, I-110 northbound between Cervantes and the Maxwell Jordan Street exit, seeing about a 10-minute delay from an earlier accident. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing a 10-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David, did I already? No, I didn't bring you on for a second. Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Looking for some headlines, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes, please.
All right. The Vatican says it will not be participating in President Trump's Board of Peace. The initiative was started by the president last month. Of course, President Trump is the chairman of that board. Many Western allies have declined, including Mexico, which recognizes Palestine as a state. There is a white Florida couple suing an in vitro fertilization company after they wound up with a child that has a different race. Lawyers for the couple claim the company in Orlando may have somehow swapped their embryos with somebody else's or implanted the wrong embryo into the plaintiff. And planning underway in Chicago to honor the life of the late Reverend Jesse Jackson. He died, of course, at 84 yesterday and started the Chicago-based Rainbow Push Coalition. Looks like they are in charge of, or at least organizing some of the funeral arrangements.
So on the one hand, it's outrageous that somebody would get the wrong embryo implanted. right?
Right.
On the other hand, what you could say is, this is going to make a really entertaining story every time somebody asks us.
Right.
Because, you know, we've got the kid now, and, you know, people are going to look at you weird and be like, what? What you want to know? I don't know. And then you could, I mean, make up a story of some kind. So
then you can sell your story to be one of those after school specials. Right. They still do those?
And
then,
no, I don't think they do. And oh, but they're,
man,
I know,
I'm
that's,
old.
That's how we all learn to not misbehave on the bus and not take LSD because, you know, you don't want the bus to crash. You don't want to jump off of a school building. You know, like all the kind of those after school specials and some of the, like, the more you know PSAs, those things were pretty, like, vivid.
They were
back in the day. Now, I mean, we would have called them traumatizing, but we didn't have that word yet. We would have called them triggering, but we didn't have that word yet. You know, we just endured because that was the nature of the world back then. David, thanks so much for the update. I will say this: I don't think that the rate of error that these fertility companies make, I don't think it's really that high. But the stories are so outrageous. That's why it catches your attention because you think, "Good Lord, really?" You know, you would think. You know, I don't know. I will say this. When we had our kids, none of our children left my sight at any period from the point they were born until we took them home. That was important to me. And now that was regular birth, but still, same principle. Keep your eye on them.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop of the Search for 9 backcountry skiers caught during an avalanche in the Sierra Nevada mountains in California.
This happened yesterday morning in Nevada County. A group of at least 15 skiers, including guides, were on Castle Peak Mountain when the avalanche happened. Sheriff's office said at least 6 of those skiers have survived. An avalanche warning is in effect through this morning.
Fox Weather's Craig Herrera, the Nevada County Sheriff's Office says 2 of the 6 skiers rescued went to the hospital. Ukraine and Russia talking, trying to end Russia's nearly 4-year-old war in Ukraine. President Zelensky telling reporters the talks were difficult, positions are different now, but they did agree to continue talking. Investigators strike out with a glove found close to Nancy Guthrie's home. DNA not a match. The mother of today show co-host Savannah Guthrie has been missing for 18 days. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 63 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Escambia County deputies arrested a man accused of robbing somebody at a Wells Fargo ATM this week. The sheriff's office says the victim had just made a cash withdrawal when 44-year-old Charles Miles allegedly threatened him and reached into the vehicle to grab the cash. Deputies say they found Miles hiding in the bushes at a nearby Super 8 motel. The money was recovered and returned to the victim. Miles is charged with robbery. Some new details on that Gulf Breeze murder case from back in November. An arrest report says 46-year-old Wendy Barber shot and killed her 25-year-old daughter, Reagan, after she was told she could no longer see her granddaughter. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson says the arrest took a few months.
It was November 25th, I think, is when it actually occurred. And the reason it took so long on this one was we had to wait for phones to be downloaded and camera stuff and all that before we actually made the arrest.
And investigators say Barber had removed surveillance cameras the night before the fatal shooting. The victim's girlfriend was on a FaceTime call when she heard what investigators believe was the gunshot. Wendy Barber's charged with second-degree murder. She's being held without bond. An Alabama sheriff's deputy injured in a high-speed chase was taken to Pensacola for treatment yesterday. Monroe County Lieutenant Corey Morrow crashed on Highway 21 while pursuing a murder suspect. A medical helicopter wasn't able to fly at that time due to the weather, so an ambulance brought him south with a police escort. Escambia deputies met the ambulance in Atmore and escorted it to Sacred Heart Hospital. The sheriff says Morrow has been released and is now recovering. The suspect was ultimately caught in Greenville, Alabama, after a chase that reached speeds of more than 100 miles an hour. Well, there's been a lot of controversy lately on flock cameras and lots of people speaking at various public meetings. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons is defending using those flock cameras. Simmons says the cameras are on public roads, and, well, where they're at, there's no expectation of privacy.
And these cameras and these license plate readers are in public roadways. They're not pointing at anyone's private property, and you do not have an expectation of privacy on a public roadway. Everyone knows that. So we'll start with that. Secondly, there are rules, there are restrictions. These we don't put license numbers or anything else up from of ex-girlfriends and that sort of thing on there. And if they do, then they'll be terminated and or charged.
And Simmons does say that every query of that system is logged and audited. And he cited a recent case where Flock Data helped Leon County catch suspects who had stolen some ATM machines from local stores. President Trump could get his name on a South Florida airport. The Florida House voting yesterday to rename the Palm Beach International Airport as President Donald J. Trump International Airport. A similar bill is also passed a committee in the state Senate. Miami Gardens Democrat Senator Chevron Jones says he has some ethical concerns. The president could financially benefit from that name change. 735 News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with John Pickens for a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Florida West. The Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. Still dealing with the accident that happened on I-110 northbound between Cervantes and Maxwell Street, Jordan exit. Still seeing traffic backed up all the way to Cervantes. That's causing some major delays there, about a 15-minute delay. And also I-10 eastbound between Nine Mile and Pine Forest through that construction zone. We're seeing some delays due to an earlier accident. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at a nice warm day today with temperatures warming up into the 70s for your afternoon high. 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise mostly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, 30% chance of a stray shower, high near 76. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64 degrees. Heading into Friday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And again, 63 and partly cloudy. Our next news at 8. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Tesla is rolling out its XAI's Grok chatbot to more of its customers' cars, this time in the UK and Europe. Elon Musk's AI company is facing a myriad of regulatory probes in Europe concerning Grok and whether the company has violated the region's Digital Services Act. Data says Tesla faced a 27% decline in EV sales in Europe last year. Alphabet said its Google I.O. Developer Conference will be held May 19th and 20th. The company is expected to launch its first smart glasses this year. Google announced a smart glasses partnership with Warby Parker at last year's event. Meta has struck a massive chip deal with NVIDIA that includes a new standalone CPU and next-generation GPUs. The social media giant will also use NVIDIA for networking technology and to support AI features on WhatsApp. Meta and NVIDIA have a long-standing partnership. Futures are moderately higher. On Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 198. That's Your Money Now.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
If you want that real New Orleans barbecue experience, don't go to New Orleans.
No?
No. Instead, head to Voodoo Barbecue for that real New Orleans flavor.
In Pensacola?
Yep. Voodoo Barbecue is locally owned, locally staffed, and serves barbecue the way it was meant to be. Cajun style, fall off the bone ribs, pulled pork packed with flavor, the way barbecue was meant to taste. Oh, yeah. Plus sides with that New Orleans flair.
Where?
On 9 Mile Road in the Target Shopping Center. Online at voodoobbq.com. Come taste the magic and get your mm-mms ready.
I'm ready.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need.
You actually need.
So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 740 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, who was out last week traveling. I think he, I don't know if he was in D.C. or Tallahassee. He goes all over the place, but that's good stuff. D.C., welcome back to the show, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been quite a trek. I was 24 hours throwing beads at Mardi Gras and then right back over here for 6 meetings yesterday in Tallahassee and 5 more today.
So. Good Lord, 6 meetings. What are you doing? Before I forget, because I will forget and move on to other things, but anything about this SB 948, the zoning preemption for residential, that is, to my mind, it gets more insane every time I read it, but anything on that, or are you working on other stuff?
Yeah, other stuff. You know, our punch list with FDOT, for example, meeting with the governor's office, meeting with Florida Commerce Secretary Alex Kelly today, met with the Secretary of DCF on some homelessness and COC issues. So all over the board, you know, just trying to get as much done as we can when we're over here.
All right. Anything to announce or anything, you know, that you wanted that came out of it that's, you know, worth telling about?
I think it's generally positive. Speaking specifically to COC and homelessness, I certainly like the direction that we're going.
Continuum of care, by the way, for people who don't know the acronym. That's the oversight of the entire process of handling.
Right, where the federal and state dollars come in for us to be able to reduce homelessness. And so, you know, I think we're in as good a position as we've been in a long, long time in terms of leadership there, in terms of governance there. And that was ultimately my message as DCF, who is one of those funders, is say, hey, look, we've turned the page over here. And, you know, unfortunately, a community our size with the PIT count, the point in time count that we have, would probably have $3 million coming in annually at the state and federal level, and we're more like $800,000. And so, like, that's something that has to be addressed. And certainly I'm in the position that the COC is in now, better than they've been in many, many years, has kind of reinvigorated my advocacy. Of course, I've always advocated for it, but I think I'm willing to endorse and sign my name to doing what we say we're going to do, you know. And so that was a big part of the meeting with Secretary Hatch at DCF and letting them know that and to look for more opportunities for us to be able to provide, and not just on homelessness. We talked about childcare access and other things like that as well.
Good, very good. Yeah, I actually really liked your comment that you made in one of the press, maybe it was the State of the City address, where you mentioned that the definition of, you know, basically resource-strapped people changing from being above 30% of their income going to housing to 90% going to all sources of recurring necessities, including childcare. Maybe you can't reduce, you know, mortgages and rents, but if you can hit childcare a little bit, maybe you help people. I love that idea. By the way, I forget to do these things sometimes, and it is entirely on me, but this interview with Mayor D.C. Reeves is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mayor, we were talking earlier in the show about City Council last Thursday. You weren't there because you were traveling, and I found it incredibly frustrating. There was a little old lady bought a house, got a quit claim deed. It had been a tax deed sale to the county, and then the people who bought it, you know, fixed up the problems and then sold it with a quit claim deed. She had a lawyer and a real estate agent, but nobody informed her that there were liens. The liens were $2,600 of actual cost from the city and $44,000 over the course of 7 years, $25 a day of, you know, court fines, basically. She came and asked for some relief. And, you know, even though Casey Jones said, can we cut it in half, and Delarian and Tanya Day went with him, the other four members said no. Ultimately, they didn't do any relief at all. And I said, this is crazy. At the county, they do this all the time. The soft costs that are just the court-mandated fees get reduced or eliminated all the time. If there's sunk costs actually spent by the county, they charge you that. So they might have gone into like a $5,000 instead of, you know, $46,000 would have been my expectation. But nobody did anything. The defense was, Charles Baer said, well, the mayor's administration is recommending full tilt on this. I wanted to give you a chance to comment on the problem in the case, whatever you want to say.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a politically convenient thing to say. Ultimately, what we brought forward, the council controls the budget, and they have the ability to do anything they want. They don't have to. So, you know, when you don't want to do something, sometimes you just blame the administration for that. But we brought forward what the rules are, and so I think my position on this is greater than the single instance, and it kind of goes back to why we did a strategic plan at the city, is because historically in this space, when you have no plan, everything fits it. And generally, when you look at the city of Pensacola's lien position policy for generations of time, it's not extremely clear. And so when it's not extremely clear, what happens is you end up having to battle these case by case.
Right.
And that puts the administration in a difficult spot, and it puts the council in a difficult spot, because it's like, well, wait, Andrew, we did this for Andrew, but not for DC, or
that's
we did
right.
this for Charles Baer, not for Jennifer. And so that, so when you don't have a plan and then everything fits it, we end up in these predicaments. So I, honestly, our focus is larger than that. I actually think we should have, frankly, more restrictive lien issue or lien policy that would maybe even mirror what the county has and what others have, where people aren't able to run from their liens. In the city, unfortunately, over years of time, you've been able to do that. You've been able to sell a house or get foreclosed, whatever the case may be. In other municipalities and counties, that can actually follow you to any other property you own.
The county does that. They spider it out to everything else you own, right?
Which makes natural, logical sense, right? But here's the problem. So we go look back to this individual issue. In the same vein of an issue like this, you know how many people have called me looking to buy a house and renovate it and say, hey, Mayor, look, you know, I'll buy this blighted house and fix it up so I can turn around and sell it, just waive these $75,000 in fees.
Right.
Well, you know, it puts us in a tough spot to say, well, we don't want blight either. But like, if we start doing that, then we really have no liens at all. And the person that wins in this is the person that left the lien.
Right.
It's not even the person. It's not the city, and it's not the person that's trying to buy it. And so, honestly, I think it's just more a greater issue that we need to that we discuss. But we've got to kind of continue to galvanize. And if we strengthen the lien policy with clarity, then it's going to make situations like this a little bit easier.
Yeah, the end goal has to be primary. Number one is you want to end blight and get properties, you know, growing and prosperous in the city. That's number one. And number two, make the people who do the bad thing actually pay for the bad thing instead of somebody else. And I agree with you. The balancing act of figuring out how to do that is actually very, very difficult. It seems like you could just do this, and it doesn't really work that way for a variety of reasons. We're talking to D.C. Reeves. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. If you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest, expect about a 7-minute delay, and Highway 90 coming into Pensacola is experiencing a 15-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. You and I had not had a chance to talk much about this, but I had sort of heard some of your comments about it. The Florida Doge report seemed to me to be profoundly unserious. In fact, I seriously wonder whether it wasn't written with the assistance of AI. The particular allegations about the city seem silly. The number of man hours that you guys spent, over 600 complying with this, is a ridiculous amount of money. But then the end of it seems to be basically recommending the elimination of towns and cities in the state of Florida, which seems like an oddly honest way to end the Doge report. But I wanted to give you a chance to comment on the thing.
Yeah, this is part of the PR crash course where you're supposed to be very measured and not say everything that you want to say. I believe is how this goes. But what I can say is I think it speaks for itself. The largest amount of time invested into this Doge report was over an issue that happened 4 months after the audit. We spent 655
hours. Oh, the Sanger Theater thing, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm sure you mentioned, you know, the sign that we were publicly at a press conference criticized for mysteriously disappeared from the report because it turns out we actually didn't use city funds to pay for it. And, you know, again, at the end of the day, we certainly, as I said from the beginning, when this was even announced that it was going to happen, that we are happy to defend any issue out there. I think this is a play for property tax. And, you know, there's an interesting conversation happening over here this week. Obviously, property tax comes up in my line of work right now. And, you know, I think what you're starting to actually hear is a little momentum from the business community around the state of Florida, because what they see, when you talk about the triangulation of cutting property tax, where's that money going to come from? Well, the natural thing is to say, well, if we give all these big homestead exemptions and property tax, where do you think that burden is going to go? It's going to go to commercial property. It's going to go not just to condos. And, you know, that's the party line to use is, well, it'll just go to people who own vacation homes. Well, yes, but there's tons of commercial property in our city and all across our state. And if that financial burden gets moved from the homesteads to commercial properties, that's going to cause an enormous issue for business attraction, business retaining, all of that as well. So that's, you know, one of the big conversations coming up. But, you know, I will not spend 655 of our staff hours analyzing this Doge report at $30,000 of labor. You know, I'll allow them, you know, the report is what it is. We'll defend every day, every hour of the week, the way that we steward the taxpayer dollar and go from there.
The Mardi Gras parade was down Jefferson because Palafox is in a current state of, you know, it's current state, we'll just say. I thought Jefferson was a really nice alternative. I don't know whether I prefer to have it there or not. Several people have said they really like it better there. Do you have any long-term plan to make that the route instead of Palafox once Palafox is fixed?
Yeah, you know, I've heard that before, and interestingly enough, I know that there's in previous years with some of the Palafox business owners, there have been some criticism about how it actually impedes their business during certain days or certain hours, which was always surprising to me, but it probably depends on your business. So, you know, might be an interesting conversation at least with DIB and moving forward. But at this point, no, we don't have any, you know, permanent plans to do that. We would, you know, and certainly we rebuilt Palafox with the intentionality that it would be able to, you know, still be able to have parades go down that road. So, you know, there'll be the speed bumps with the crosswalks and everything else, but, you know, it still could be done. So, so more to come on that. If certainly, I don't think that would be something that would come from the administration, right? I think it would be sparked by us, but if it's something that we're hearing with business owners and the parade organizers, then we would certainly take a look at it.
Very good. Last quick thing, just briefly, is the airport announcement. I know how, you know, John wants me to ask you how many times an airport employee hears your voice over the course of a year. I pegged it around 14,000 times based on a quarter hour and a work year. But you're working to get Emmett Smith and Bubba Watson and what, you know, Devin Witherspoon, any other big names we're going to put up on the announcements? Adron Chambers?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe Derek Brooks, you know, I mean, there's a Roy Jones Jr. Maybe there's lots of, you know, famous folks that that could take over that role. And of course, Andrew, you're not counting that they listened to mine in your interview on the way to work. So if you count all those words, that they have to hear me on the way in their car and then when they get there. But yeah, you know, I do apologize to them, but in seriousness, it gives us an opportunity to talk good about our city and especially with all of these, you know, famous people that have had an impact all over the world in some way, for that to resonate with visitors that come in. And so so we do like taking that opportunity, even in apologies to our employees, to be able to highlight, you know, small businesses, for example, is something that I mentioned in there. You know, please support our small businesses while you're here. So it gives us a little chance to message folks while we've got a captive audience. You know, they aren't going anywhere, at least for an hour or so. So we like that mechanism. We'll just give our employees a little relief from having to hear me all the time.
You know, it's to my mind, it's very similar to don't put your own logo on the water tower. Put something cool on the water tower. Okay, well, don't put the mayor's voice on the airport. You know, take our celebrities and put them on the airport voice. It's just that you can do something different with it. That's, you know, maybe people don't miss if it's not there, but once they see it, like, oh, this is so much better. I love it. Hey, well, I always like to end with a quick lightning round. First question for you. Tell me which Olympic sport you just can't stand watching, winter or summer.
Oh, either one. man, well, you know, I watched curling last night, which I like somehow. I don't know how, but honestly, I'm good. I'm a sports writer, Andrew. I'm good with
that. You like them all?
I can watch pretty much, I'm trying to think.
Like,
I don't know. There's
cross country and
watching.
The marathon? You're fine?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, cross-country skiing. That's a good one. Yeah, I mean, that is definitely super good. Boring. Yeah.
Nobody likes cross-country skiing. I knew it. I knew it was there. on your grits, sugar or salt?
Salt. I didn't even know people put sugar on.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I've been told by a lot of people that it is an exciting alternative. So, we'll allow it.
Interesting.
How often do you react to or comment on social media posts? Anywhere between 0% and 100% of the time.
Oh God! I mean, my world. People would think because they see me on there, probably 1% of the time. given everything that is ever discussed, it may not seem that way to people, but you can check my notifications or whatever. Probably one, lots of volume in this business that you could comment on. So probably a very low number considering that fact.
A high percentage of pass, even though we all see when the mayor does comment that, you know, he does comment. It's not a zero, but it is definitely not all that high of a number. Mayor D.C. Reeves, thanks so much, as always, for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
7:55. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, expect about a 15-minute delay due to an earlier accident in the construction zone. Also, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, a 10-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got a business, you have to deal with benefits. You have to deal with payroll, insurance, dental, vision, life, disability. You got to deal with HR. These are things that nobody loves to do, but they have to be done. And you want to do them well because they can be the difference between happy and not so happy employees, you know, recruiting and retention, right? Torgerson Consulting, they've been doing this for more than 2 decades. They are really good at it. We have been using them here at News Radio in Cat Country for about 5 years, actually exactly 5 years, and they're great. They give us planned options we didn't have before. They help answer questions that we might have all the time. We always have questions, and they always have good answers, or they get them for us. Great customer service, and it's no obligation to have them look over what you're doing and see if maybe there's a way to do it better or cheaper or both. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
That's more like it.
Hi, I'm Kenny with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. My father started this business over 30 years ago, and we continue to proudly serve the Gulf Coast with trusted local service. Whether you're a first-time or returning customer, we inspect each vehicle like it's our own. From oil changes, engine replacements, and diagnostics, our certified techs do it right the first time. Fast, honest, and fair, just like auto service should be. So if your car needs care, bring it to Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. Visit us at AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com. Affordable Automotive. Quality you can afford.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thanks, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. with top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9, News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
They fly now!
Good morning, 7:59, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Good morning, Andrew. There we go. Hold on. I flipped it over to the wrong thing. Let me... Mark Zuckerberg expected to take the stand today in a landmark trial in Los Angeles involving social media addiction and kids. The plaintiff, a young woman, sued TikTok, YouTube, and Meta, claiming that she became addicted to social media sites as a kid and ever since has suffered from anxiety and depression.
I guess the backdrop here is she may have had some pre-existing issues, so she may not be the ideal candidate to make this lawsuit, but they are certainly guilty. Local.